This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
The Flying Pork Apparel Company is an awfully long name to fit into a 15-second ad. We're most likely going to have to cut it short, but our designer tees and customer services are like way long on quality. Visit flyingporkapparel.com and shirt yourself, folks. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
What's going on, man?
Not much.
You're too far away again.
I was looking at the screen.
Oh, yeah. Cool. All right. So we're back this week after a week off when I was gone again.
Yep.
In Istanbul this time.
Constantinople.
It's up to the Turks. They're the ones.
They're the ones massacring people right now.
Yeah, I don't think that's, like, true massacring. It's a whole, like, political thing. I was, like, hundreds of miles away from where
right,
that was. So, like, that's on the border of Turkey and Syria, and I was on Istanbul, which is the middle of the country.
Right.
The neat thing is that it is the border of Europe and Asia.
Right.
So I got to go back and forth between Europe and Asia a couple times, which was kind of fun. So now I can officially say I've been to Asia.
And Europe.
Well, I've been to Europe before.
Right,
but, yeah.
Eurasia. Yeah.
The food was good. You would actually like the food there. It wasn't too, like, crazy, like, ethnic, quote-unquote.
Oh, okay.
So.
I will try ethnic food.
But the best thing I ate.
I've had a lot of weird stuff in my lifetime.
The best thing I ate was grilled octopus, which I like octopus. Like, it's one of my favorites anyway, but it was, like, really good. So.
I don't think I've ever even heard of grilled octopus.
Yeah,
before,
it was just the big tentacle just slapped on a plate. Stuckers
tastes like chicken,
kind of. Yeah, everything kind of just tastes like chicken, right?
Because we're in the Matrix,
right? Why, oh, why didn't I take the blue pill?
Were you ever offered that pill?
Not that I remember, but the Matrix could have just deleted that from my memory. So, all right. So this week we are talking about the Todd Phillips, Joaquin Phoenix starring Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
I did.
Did not.
I liked it in the way that I like Seven.
Okay.
Or Natural Born Killers.
Sure.
Like, I don't have to go back and watch it again.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I thought it was an interesting study of somebody descending into madness.
So, a couple things. One, I felt it was very, like, superficial, right? There wasn't a whole lot. The descending into madness, like, I didn't feel like there was a lot of depth or reason there. The other thing is, you watched How I Met Your Mother, right?
No.
Oh, okay. So the lady that played Neil Patrick Harris's mom. Oh, and we're going to, spoilers, by the way. The lady that played Neil Patrick Harris's mom was Arthur's mom.
Okay.
Okay. In How I Met Your Mother, she told Barney that his dad was Bob Barker.
Okay.
And here in The Joker, or in Joker, not The Joker, in Joker, she's telling him his dad is Thomas Wayne.
Right.
Which, like, I just could not get past. So essentially, like, part of me looks at this as like, oh, this is just what happens if Barney Stinson makes a few wrong choices. Because, like, he did magic and juggling. Sure. It was kind of a clown. But that's not what, like, stunted my enjoyment of it.
Did that just take you out of it?
No, what took me out of it, and it was the very first thing, was Chicago.
Okay.
Like, because the Nolan movies used Chicago so prevalently as Gotham, it was just like, great, we're in Chicago again. And I don't know, like, thinking back to the Burton movies.
Chicago fits the Gotham, like, aspects of what's in the comic
book. I don't disagree.
Right.
And we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
But the thing is I would have liked to have seen some of more of that, like, gothic, like, look and feel from the Burton kind of mixed in.
But then
not
people
quite
would have
so.
Said, this is a Tim Burton knockoff movie.
Well, not so, like, not, like, full on, just, like, aspects of it. I will say I did appreciate how much of this was in the daytime, which is very weird for a DC movie to happen in the light, other than Shazam.
Justice League had daytime stuff happen.
Some,
yeah.
I liked what I did like. Here, I'll talk about what I liked, because I did like a couple things. I liked the look and feel. Like, I thought it was shot pretty well. The director of cinematography did a great job.
Yeah.
You know, I liked the freneticness of when he had, like, his episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was, like, handled really well because you kind of were able to call the shot when it was about to happen. Anyone who says this movie is ultra-violent...
There's not much violence. There's just the illusion of violence.
There's three main violent acts that happen.
Yeah, so it's just an alluding to violence happening in the city.
Which I liked.
Which is, like, Gotham.
Because it wasn't gratuitous.
How all that controversy is just because of what happened with the kid that shot up the movie theater.
Well, that, but the person who wrote that initial article about, like, the incel thing.
Which I stayed away from everything.
Did not watch the movie.
Well, right, yeah.
They just, like, so one.
The problem with people that call themselves journalists now.
Well, they're not.
They call themselves journalists now because they work for, you know, places that are journalism places. Is that they don't have the training that, you know, like we had.
Right.
When we took journalism, you know, 20 years ago.
Right.
Because it's a different.
Yeah,
time.
I mean, I took a journalism ethics class,
right? Yeah.
Like, I had to get my degree
sure.
in journalism. I had to take a journalism ethics class.
Right.
So, like, I would never report on something I had never seen.
Right.
Like, we don't talk about things on here that we haven't seen. We try not to talk too much about rumors, even though that happens from time to time.
I mean, if you've seen something and you mention it and I'm like, I haven't seen that.
Right.
I've never watched How.
Right.
I've seen episodes. Right. But I have no idea what's going on in that universe.
Which is why I was just kind of explaining it. But so, you know, there were certain things that I did like. Like I said, I never have to see this movie again.
Well, no. This is literally, like I told you, this was felt like when I went and seen Seven. When I seen Seven in a theater, it was the idea of a character's descending into madness. And at the end, the madness takes over.
So
Brad Pitt.
Yeah. I felt like this movie was boring.
I wasn't bored. But I was just like, it's just plodding along type thing, but that's the type of movie this is.
So we've
like, this is the movie I was expecting to go in and see. There wasn't anything where I was like, where's Batman?
So, and where's I did Riddler? Not expect, yeah, I where's, didn't expect any of that.
Like, when are we going to get a cameo from Edward Nygma? Or right. Where are we going to get a cameo from Selina Kyle? It's like, you don't expect that in this movie because you see that preview, you know what you're coming in for.
So, in the almost two decades of our friendship, we've seen a lot of movies together. I got up to pee during this movie.
Okay.
Which I I never do.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bored I was. It's like, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm just going to go because I'm not going to miss anything. And I didn't. It was like the point where he was in Arkham with Paperboy trying to get his mom's file. And it's like, great, he's adopted. Okay, they already said that.
Yeah.
So, awesome. I was concerned about the whole idea of, like, a Joker origin, right?
Yeah.
Like trying to make a definitive, and we've talked about this a little bit
before.
There
never will be a definitive one.
And so I'm really glad.
The Killing,
like,
Joke, if any of them, the Killing Joke is the most definitive, like, of quote origins, because there might be three Jokers existing in the DC universe
right
now.
At any given time. There seems to be multiple Jokers lately.
Well, that's a story that's coming up.
Yeah.
Like a literal story where they're going to acknowledge three Jokers.
Cool.
So, I have no interest in it, but okay.
So, the incel thing, though.
What is incel?
It's involuntary celibate. So, it's somebody who wants to get laid but just can't, right?
Was that a thing?
That's a thing now. So, they were saying this was a thing in the movie, in this article.
It wasn't, that though. Where was that at?
Never. And so, Zsa Beetz is in this movie, right?
Yes.
And I love Zsa Beetz.
She's
awesome in Atlanta. She was great. She was probably the best part of Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
Which
one
is
of them, but
saying there wasn't a lot of great stuff about Deadpool 2, but she was probably, like you said, one of the best things. Like, she was just kind of in this movie.
She's there as a plot device.
She provided, like, the Tyler Durden moment in this movie.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
So, I felt like I feel like I would have really liked this movie if a better filmmaker had made it than Todd Phillips. It had some aspects of Seven, or not Seven, some, well, it did, it had some aspects of Seven, had some aspects of Fight Club. It really wants to be Taxi Driver or King of Comedy.
Did it?
I felt like that's what it was really going for. You know, the whole scene where he's like practicing, like drawing his gun and all of that. And
that's before any of those movies. That's Wild West movies did that.
Well, but like the whole Travis Bickle in the mirror, you talking to me, like, you know, him. Like, and it was ironic that it was De Niro, which was kind of funny. Oh,
that was all on purpose.
And I mean, thought, I did like De Niro as Marty Feldman or whatever the character's name was. I was really annoyed by Thomas Wayne, the way they handled Thomas Wayne.
Because they made him a bad guy.
It wasn't that they made him a bad guy necessarily. It was just the whole, like, I felt like there was and I may be reading into this, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong here. I felt like there was like a whole Trump allegory that just because this guy has money and was running for politics, that he had to be a fascist. And
there's,
you know,
a little bit of that in the whole movie, but this movie takes place in the 80s.
Right. Well, I'm saying like, but it was a commentary 70s, on, yeah,
well,
today.
What,
which it absolutely is.
What isn't movies? Movies are commentaries on society.
Right. I just felt like they kind of, you know, and this is the problem with being comic book fans, right? Like, we have an expectation of certain characters, and Thomas Wayne has kind of typically been
Thomas Wayne is a villain.
He's typically been
Thomas Wayne
sacred,
currently is well, a villain.
Currently, yes. I'm saying typically he's been like a sacred cow as far as like this bastion
I've
of
never
goodness.
Felt that.
Really?
I've never
I
felt
always
that.
Did. I always kind of was like, why is he so good?
Thomas Wayne is a rich man.
Right.
But they never Thomas Wayne became a sacred cow when Batman Begins came out because he helped save the city and they killed him for it.
Okay.
Thomas Wayne is not a good guy. He's done things like everybody else has done things.
But
the thing is like there's different origins of Thomas Wayne too, because I remember reading the Untold Tales of Batman, where Thomas Wayne was the first Batman.
Yeah, I have that. It's on the bookshelf over there.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, there's that. But
I get it.
Making Thomas Wayne more of an ass, like he was in this, was just one of those things where it's like, this whole world is dark.
Yeah. Oh, it's
the
definitely
world,
dark.
The world of the movie The Joker is dark.
But I also felt like leaving, like, the tail end with the you know, Batman origin, essentially, which
worked right into it, though.
You think he'd be smart enough not to go downtown when there's a riot?
Well, no,
like,
that
when
just
they
shows
know
how,
a riot is
how
happening.
Stupid he
is.
Is
it or just the hubris in him?
Yeah, he thought that he was pretty much like going to save the city.
Yeah.
Like he you know, he wasn't a bad guy because like, you know, he smacked him and told him, don't come around my son.
Right.
You know, like,
he was looking out for Bruce.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where it's like, you could tell that he wasn't a totally terrible guy. He just was one of those guys that was high on the hill and looked down at all the jokers, as he calls them.
As you will.
Yeah. And it's like, you just think like, yeah, that's the situation that a person in that situation would actually be.
Right.
And him just thinking he could save the city because he was rich is like one of those things where it's like, no, that's not exactly what, you know, the situation is going to be. And just fitting the Batman origin in there was like a good idea.
Yeah.
Because it's like, don't acknowledge Bruce Wayne and then not do anything with it.
Right.
And but I like that it was like their origins tie together.
Yeah.
The Joker and the Batman are, you know, the flip sides of a coin.
And I did appreciate that it wasn't Joaquin Phoenix that pulled the
trigger.
No,
yeah. It
like,
was just
that
a guy
was that
in
was
clown
good
mask.
Restraint.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he took the clown mask off.
Right.
So the cast, like I said, was interesting. The other clowns were creepy and awesome and weird and
you just
and
mean the
terrifying.
People wearing masks and that
no
stuff?
Like the other birthday clowns who worked with him.
Oh,
the
just
thing.
Yeah, it's just but, that, you know, bottom of the barrel type people and that type of stuff, and it's like, okay,
yep,
you know, this is the way society is. It's the way, you know, like that movie takes place in a 70s 80s era because you look at the cars, you look at the, you know,
the
TVs, the
clothes
and everything.
TVs, yeah,
yeah. And it's like, you know, it had a little, that's why like the Chicago thing made me go, well, this is Chicago, but it looks like New York, like the New York of the 80s and that, like dark, dingy and that. But I'm like, yeah, it's Chicago, which is no big deal to me because if I had to pick a city for Gotham City, it would be Chicago right
yeah.
now.
Two Marvel actors in this with Zazie Beetz and Shea Whigham. who was in Agent Carter. I thought that was fun. That kind of took me out of it for a second, but then I got right back in.
For him, I'm just like, oh, cool. Hey, Shay.
And I like him. Yeah. So it was not obvious that that was Alfred Pennyworth at the gate.
No, they didn't do that. Wasn't very obvious.
But it was right. Douglas Hodge, who did not have an English accent.
Well, it just seemed like they, well, he had a slight English accent.
Okay, I didn't hear it at all.
They might have cut something there because, you know, it looked like Bruce was about to ask him if he was okay.
Yeah.
And they just cut away enough that it was like, okay. You know. But yeah, I vibed that it was Alfred, but you know. I think it's funny that Joaquin Phoenix like has smothered two parents now with a pillow.
Right?
Yeah.
Poor Commodus.
I think that some of the stuff in there was just done on a wink.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you said, the whole thing with the mom being the mom from maybe he was just like, oh yeah, you had this running joke in that. Why don't we do that?
Right.
Or that's a perfect idea for the story of her insanity. Mm-hmm. And it just worked out. And I was like, you know, I didn't know that. So I didn't care. I just was like,
I was telling Angel about it and I told her who the actress was. And she's like, oh, that was Barney's mom. She's the one who pointed that out. I didn't even think about it until
afterwards. Well, my thing was like, you know, and I was telling somebody at work, I'm like, at least they explain why he was the way he was with his laughing and at the uncontrollable laughing, like give us the idea that he was abused as a child.
Yeah.
Like, that like, you know, that abuse, like he was brain damaged.
So I had another thought as we were leaving. So I went and saw it with Tim, Haley's friend Kate's dad.
Okay.
And he didn't care for it either, which is weird. Because usually,
one of those movies
if I
where
don't,
I'm like,
usually when I don't like a movie, he's like, "You're crazy."
Yeah.
Like this, like we very rarely like if we both like the same things, but like typically if I don't like something,
I just think it's one of those movies where it's like. It's either you're not going to enjoy it or you're going to enjoy it.
Did you get the idea that maybe it all happened in his head?
No.
Like from the end with the doctor in the hospital and everything? He just had this thing, story happened in his head and he's talking to her about it and then she was actually the only person he killed?
No. I think that it all happened. Okay. Like, I think the thing, like, you know, they did enough of the... as you say, Fight Club part, but I'm like, that was just one of those things where you're sitting there going, no, this isn't happening.
So I just felt like he was
literally, I'm sitting there going, he's not in a relationship with her.
No,
right
and like
now.
When he was in the Murray Bauman show and he's like, I wish you were my son. You're like, oh,
well,
this
that's
totally
where you're like,
happening.
Yeah, you were like, that's his fantasy.
And that's what kind of started me down that road.
When he walks in the apartment though, and like she comes out and freaks out. I'm like,
yeah,
that is great. I'm like, that was so like the way that they did it was so good. I'm like, that's cool. I'm like, that's cool twist.
Yeah.
I'm like, that just answers the question of, yeah, that didn't really happen.
So, see, Mark Maron was kind of cool. Show up as the guy on the Murray Franklin show.
Yeah.
Like that was
like the full beard and all that.
Well,
like,
I just enjoy Mark
like,
Maron.
At first you're
so.
Like, is that Mark Maron? And then it's like, oh yeah, it is. Hey.
But, I don't know. I think I really I wanted something. I wanted it to feel original, and it just didn't.
I don't think it needed to feel original. Like, what original would you want?
I see. That's the thing, right? Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't have any expectations going.
I mean, I was going in hoping that they didn't use anything that they've used already in the comic books, and then they didn't.
I feel like they succeeded in that.
And they didn't. And I'm like, well, okay, that's why this movie, I enjoyed it. Is because it wasn't a normal comic book movie.
And it's not. And I wasn't expecting a comic book movie. I wasn't expecting a ton of action and exploding whoopee cushions and acid and things like that.
But I mean, like, even a, you know, a quiet comic book movie, like, you know, not totally comic booky. But if they would have used, like, anything from The Killing Joke, if they would have used anything from any of the origins of this character, I would have been like, I'm out at that point because I'm like, the trailer made it seem like it was set in a real world. The movie felt like it was set in a real world. Like this could have happened. You could like go on the internet and do a Google on Joker and this would come up. And I'm like, that's why I enjoyed it because it felt real. And it was just one of those things where like Seven, it was just that seeing somebody descend into madness and being pushed over the edge.
Yeah.
And I liked the idea that, you know, the illusion that he was going to kill himself on Murray Bauman show. and then didn't.
Oh, I knew that wasn't going to happen.
Well, I was like, man, if he does that, that would be kind of cool.
I wish they would have done that.
But I'm like, you know, I know they're not going to do that, but I'm like, you know, they kept alluding to it, and I'm like, this might actually happen that way, and then it didn't, and I'm like, okay.
So I had a friend comment that, like, well, at least the last 30 minutes were cool, and that person is a big Bengals fan.
Yeah.
And so I replied, of course a Bengals fan would say, oh, just because the end was cool, the rest of it was good, because, you know, the Bengals have a history of losing 14 games and winning the last two, and everybody leaves like, we're winning the Super Bowl next year.
Okay.
Maybe not now. Like, they've been burned so many times. Yeah. But, I don't know. I think he was a really unreliable narrator, which is what led me to believe.
Todd Phillips? Maybe,
no, the Joker.
Oh.
So, Arthur is a unreliable narrator telling his own story.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point of the
movie. And so that's
what
kind of leads me to believe that maybe it just happened in his head.
You're just in the head of a crazy person. And that. But, I mean, like, you know, I think that it happened. I mean, you know, it looked like it happened. So
I was really happy there was no Harley Quinn. That was a nice bit of restraint. It was just really nice restraint. Like, no Harleen Quinzel or anything like that.
Why would they have done that?
Who knows?
That's the same as me saying, where was Edward Nygma or Selena?
No, I know.
Kyle.
I'm saying, like, I appreciated the restraint there.
I don't think that Todd Phillips was trying to do a DC comic movie.
No, he
was
trying
to
make
do a DC
movie.
He was
trying to make Taxi Driver with the Joker.
Maybe.
And then the one other thing
I don't
is,
feel like that either, but, you know, I just feel like he was trying to make a movie with a character and make it as real as possible.
Sure. Just the one other thing is I feel like you could have plopped a couple different actors into this role.
Well, sure.
And they would have done just as good, if not better.
Jack Nicholson. No. I mean, you know.
Like, I think Jake Gyllenhaal, right? Like, you saw Nightcrawler.
Yeah, I seen Nightcrawler.
Like, Jake Gyllenhaal.
But then that's the thing where you're like,
that's the thing
where you would have seen the movie, not liked it, and complained about.
Well,
they cast the same guy who did this in a different movie.
No. Well, because Joaquin Phoenix has played this kind of role before.
Hey, they should have put Ed Norton in that. No, Ed Norton did this.
You know what? Ed Norton could have done this as well, like Primal Fear.
Ed Norton did this. It was called Fight Club.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him in Fight Club.
You just said that.
I know. I've been talking about
Fight Club. That's the thing is, like, the people who complain about this movie are going to complain about this movie no matter who plays the Joker.
So I thought he did.
It would be the
same
as if they would have used what's his name from Suicide Squad and just made it where he was, you know, playing this version of it. It would have still been the same thing.
And he's all butthurt that they recast it. It's like, dude, you were horrible. You were awful in the role. Like, what do you expect? You made some really weird choices there. And
yeah, that's the thing is that's where you don't let the actor make too many choices.
Right. So I also
as a director of a movie, you are in charge of the movie. Right. Right. Is that how that works?
I believe so.
Like, executive producers give the money. Executive producers make decisions. But the director is in charge of how the movie is shot. So why would you give your actor the control to decide on, you know, your Joker's going to wear a grill. Your Joker's going to have tattoos
on
his face.
Hand.
You know,
the smile is his hand.
Yeah, the Joker
stupid laugh is
going to be. Yeah, that was the least worst part of was the laugh, because I'm like, that laugh was menacing enough that I was like, if he did that. No, the.
Oh, wait.
Ah,
no. Yeah,
ah,
that's right.
Yeah, that thing. And I'm OK with that part. Yeah. But I'm like, you know, trying to make him gangsta Joker is just one of those things. And then, like, the weird stuff where he was sending stuff to people and like dead animals and stuff. I'm like, what? That's why your role got cut down. Right. That's why you're not in any other movies.
Right. Right. So, and
but
I'm not
saying, you know what sucks? They can use your picture in movies like they're using in Birds of Prey.
Right. I did think there was a part of me that thought that Joaquin Phoenix just took this role so he could sit around and smoke cigarettes all day too.
Well, you know,
but yeah, I wanted to like it.
I enjoyed him. I enjoyed the idea that, you know, he can play these types of characters better than most people can.
He does a great job with the transformation, right?
I wish he would hit puberty at some point.
Right?
His voice, like, cracks a lot. Yeah. And I'm like, you sound like you did when you were on The Adventures of Superboy back in the 90s. Like, his voice cracks, like, and I'm like, well, okay. And it might be from the smoking.
Who knows?
It might be.
I mean,
you know, if he does really smoke like that, then, you know, but I'm like, everything in that movie is kind of plot device, including him and De Niro and everything
else. The film takes
place
in 1981.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I thought De Niro was good. It was, he was like, you know, I mean, De Niro is one of those guys, if you give him good direction and he has a good...
He kind of was playing the gangster from Analyze This.
A little?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like, that's what I felt like. So. Like, I'm like, you know, I don't remember the character's name in that, but I'm like, wow, he's really playing that Analyze This type character in this, but it's a TV show host.
Yeah.
If they would have done something at the end where they revealed it was all in his head, I would have been like, okay, that makes more sense.
I think I would have enjoyed, like, if they would have done that, I probably would have been like, okay, like, I'm on board.
Yeah.
Because the whole, like, the car
crashing.
But
at that point, you would have had to do, like, his mom coming in and being okay and being, like, proper looking.
Which
would have
been,
that.
Yeah.
And I would have been like, okay.
Or
that,
his,
that,
or
know.
She could have been, like, the nurse in the hospital.
Yeah.
Like, something.
Yeah.
Or Thomas Wayne could have, like, walked by.
Thomas,
like,
Wayne was the doctor in the hospital that
yeah,
he was at.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm like, you know, what they did, and they, it's the thing that I like, this idea of DC doing anthology
mm-hmm.
movies instead of
oh,
trying
I'm
to do
all
a
for
DC
the anthology
universe.
Movies. And the fact that
so
it made
like
as much
Birds
money.
Birds of Prey comes out and doesn't, like, obviously that's Margaret Robbie playing the same Harley
yeah.
Quinn, but if she doesn't even acknowledge anything from Suicide Squad, I'm good. But I feel like this,
did you watch the trailer?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, they've already kind of acknowledged
yeah,
Suicide
well,
Squad,
Joker
so,
and
yeah.
all that stuff. But yeah. I'm like, she's going to be in the next Suicide Squad. So I'm like, this is perfect that they mm-hmm. do that as a universe unto itself
mm-hmm.
and do other things as anthology type movies.
So I am happy that it made a good chunk of money in the opening weekend, $95 million.
Yeah.
Because I do want to see more anthology stuff like this. This is like that Elseworld stuff that we love.
Well, sure, yeah.
Right?
That's
like, I'm
like...
all for seeing more Elseworld stuff.
Yeah.
I just didn't... I didn't happen to enjoy this movie.
Well, sure, yeah.
I saw it because I want more stuff in the vein of this. But also, DC doesn't have to go super dark.
And I don't feel like this was super
dark. And it
dark.
Wasn't. It wasn't. But, like, I'm just afraid. So every time they do something that's kind of dark,
yeah,
they overcorrect and go super dark because they think that's what people
well,
want.
Well, they actually need somebody who could be their Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
And, like, somebody who can say yes or no to stuff mm-hmm. and not have Warner Brothers go, what if we did this? Like, Disney's not coming in and getting in Kevin Feige's pool and going, you know what, I'm going to take a poop right here.
Yeah.
And that they're coming in and just being like, hey, can we swim around a little bit? Maybe talk to you about some things. And that, and I think that's what they do with Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
What they do with Pixar yeah. and that, because Disney executives are smart enough to know that if they're making money, let's just keep making money.
Yeah. Let Kevin do his thing.
Yeah.
Let Kathleen do her whatever thing.
You complain
know.
About that, but everybody's
I'm not really complaining.
I can't wait for The Mandalorian. Guess who's in charge?
Kathleen.
Kathleen Kennedy's in charge. So you're going to complain about this person who did The Force Awakens, which was mainly Bob Iger's decision,
yeah.
not Kathleen Kennedy's decision.
I like The Force Awakens.
And did The Last you know, Jedi.
I like parts
and did
of The
Solo,
Last Jedi.
And did Rogue One.
I like Solo. Rogue One is my second favorite Star Wars movie.
And I'm like, then everybody's like, well, I can't wait for The Mandalorian. Well, guess what? It's the same people in charge. So, you know, when yeah. it sucks, you can point it out to her.
So, I'm excited for The Mandalorian. I'm excited this week over week. I'm excited for Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
So
I think everything's going to be fine.
I know our mutual friend, like, hates Rey.
I don't know
if he does or if that's just him posturing and being silly.
I don't know.
But I think Rey's cool. I bought all the Rey characters, all the Rey figures.
I don't
figures.
Think that he hates Rey. I think it's just the idea that Rey is... too much of a focal point.
Yeah.
And that there are other characters in that movie besides Rey.
There are.
So, you know, they should get their fair.
I think therein lies the
Sith Trooper 1, Sith Trooper 2, Palpatine. You know.
Hopefully
non-toxic Poe Dameron.
Yeah, not to delve too much into the past, but that's where the problem lied in picking up right where the last movie left off.
That was
the biggest mistake.
It's that thing where it's the same thing. You have these directors that are like Todd Phillips did comedies mainly, right?
Yeah, The Hangover
movies
yeah.
and a few other like comedy movies.
Yeah,
Rian Johnson did Looper and
Brick.
Had no experience whatsoever right. with a epic like saga movie.
Right.
Like, not even... Right. That'd be like if he came in and did a Star Trek movie. It'd be like, no, I don't feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they said Quentin Tarantino was doing a Star Trek movie, I'm like, I can get on board with this.
Yeah.
Because Quentin Tarantino can direct the hell out of pretty much everything.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those things where... Well, I seen the second preview for Knives Out, the new Rian Johnson movie, and I'm like, really?
No.
It's like, you just cast a bunch of people that people like, so they're going to go see this movie right. because they like those people, and it's going to be like, well, that was just a success because it was.
So, Todd Phillips directed Road Trip, Old School.
Okay.
Starsky and Hutch.
Okay.
School for Scoundrels. Do you remember that one? It was kind of like the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels like
no,
type
I
thing.
I don't remember that one.
The Hangover, Due Date, Hangover 2, Hangover 3, War Dogs, which was in 2016, and then, 2016, and now Joker. And then his next movie is an untitled Hulk Hogan biopic.
Okay.
So one of these things is not like the other. And I like his comedies. Like, I really like Old School. I really like Road Trip. The first Hangover is a comedy masterpiece and
yeah.
to this day.
Yeah.
But
I've never seen the third one and I didn't really like the second one.
Then you're lucky because there's some things you just can't unsee.
Right.
But this is where I say like maybe a better filmmaker would have made this, in my opinion, a better movie.
Maybe.
So,
but it wouldn't have been the same movie,
which is fine.
Like, it would have been a flash and bang Marvel.
Well,
movie.
And I didn't want. I don't want. I definitely didn't want.
Well,
that.
Right, but that's what most people wanted to do, and he said he didn't want to do that, like, and he's just got like a grudge against Hollywood right now.
I think my big problem was just the fact that it felt boring. It dragged, and like, you know, we both.
I don't think it was supposed to be exciting.
No, but like we watch things that are deliberately paced.
Yeah,
like things that are
I felt
are,
like this
are
was.
Slow, and I didn't. I just felt like it dragged for me. And
see, really,
I wanted to get into it. I just couldn't. You know, I don't know. I've been talking to Daryl about it for the last 2 days or day and a half, whatever, half a day. And like he's like, I liked it, but I didn't like it. And
yeah, I mean, it's one of those movies. Like I said, I'll probably see it one more time, yeah. and that's all I need to see it.
Like if I do, it'll be if it hits.
I don't know if I'll buy it.
I'm definitely not buying it. So.
But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, it was good enough to see one more time. I'm not going to go to a theater and see it.
Yeah.
But if it shows up like on HBO or Hulu or something, I'll probably just go, okay, I'll watch this one more time and make sure that I felt the way I felt.
Yeah.
Kind of like The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
That's the same thing. The Last Jedi, I had that like too many days in a row. And
yeah, because you went, what, like 4 days in a row, 3 days in a row?
I went 3 times in 6 days.
Yeah.
And
so
if somebody's going to offer me to take me to movies, I'll take the opportunity to go see it.
Right.
So if anybody was like, hey, we'll pay for you to go see Joker again, I'll be like, okay.
If I have to.
All right.
But, so they're already talking about like gaffes and goofs and stuff like that. And there weren't very many. One thing did stand out to me is he had the 6-shooter revolver and he shot like 7 or 8 bullets when he was killing the people on the train. But like, what movie doesn't do that? Like, I don't see why that was made such a big deal. The Energizer Bunny.
Maybe he reloaded and you just didn't see it.
Yeah, that could have happened off screen.
Right.
The Energizer Bunny. Because he did have extra bullets in that bag.
He did. He had bullets in that bag. So. And you know what? When he got out of the train, he could have reloaded that gun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you're absolutely right. It could have happened off screen.
He shoots the runner like 2 more times at least once he's on those steps. And I'm like, was that one of the train stations I was in? No, it wasn't. No, that was on another side of town is where that was.
That was in the south side.
Yeah.
They were making a big deal because the Energizer Bunny didn't come out until 1988. And this movie's supposed to take place in 1981.
Was the Energizer Bunny in this movie?
They're in the commercial on one of the TVs.
Oh, really?
It's like, okay, that's just getting nitpicky right there. So...
Shows you how much I was paying attention to everything else that was going on those screens. Actually, I was watching the movie.
The news and stuff on the screen
the
was
news,
cool.
Yeah.
So.
The stuff that was going on in the town.
Yeah.
So.
Like I said, like I wanted to like feel like it had some substance to it. Like Taxi Driver, like Cuckoo's Nest, like Raging Bull, things like that.
All movies that it's been a long time since.
And
I've
get that. And I was hoping for like a throwback to that era. I just felt like it stopped short in like the political correctness era that we're in.
Like, we've always been in that era, though.
Well, I get it, but I just wanted something more from it, and it didn't give me that. And it's funny because I really didn't have any expectations going in. I didn't know what it was. I didn't watch a single trailer.
Yeah, there was only one that I remember.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't watch any. So, and it's not like I went out of my way to avoid them. I just didn't.
Sure,
I'm in that mode again where I'm just not watching movie trailers very often.
Okay,
so
I watch them all.
I know.
Figuring a movie out before I go see it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, that's just my brain does that anyway. So.
But I like to go back and watch the trailers afterwards to see all the stuff that wasn't in the movie.
You mean like Spider-Man Far From Home, yeah, where they did it as a short in the movie and on the disc and on those special features, which was fun.
Yeah,
and I'm glad they did it because it actually like made an enjoyable short.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I watched that. Right, I bought that last week.
Cool.
And watched it and I was just like, yeah, this movie's still good.
So there are people who are like touting this as like the best movie of the year and Oscar worthy.
I think that it should get nominated. I do not think it should win. I think that Joaquin Phoenix should get nominated. I do not feel like Todd Phillips should get nominated for director because anybody could have really shot
right
that movie.
It could have just been a director of cinematography because right. I feel like Phoenix did his own, like did his thing that he does, like, which is why
Phoenix,
you
could have just put the camera on him and he could have just done this and like, you know, anybody could have locked the camera down and just said, yeah, go ahead and put the pillow on her like you did like when you were Commodus. That's a movie where he should have been nominated for an Academy Award as Gladiator.
As Commodus?
Yeah.
When he killed Marcus Aurelius?
Yeah. That and I'm like, you know, I'm not a big Joaquin Phoenix fan, but I was like, you know, he did a good job.
See,
and
I do like him.
Do the physical stuff that he did to himself for this movie, I'm like, you know what? Dude, yeah, you deserve at least a nomination.
So, like Her? Did you see Her?
No, I've never seen
Her. Dude, you have to see Her. He's amazing in Her. He was great as Johnny Cash. He was great in The Master.
See, I've never seen Walk the Line either.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a good one, too.
Not that I avoid these movies. I just don't, you know. It's not something where I'm like, hey, let's watch Walk the Line.
So he did a movie back in the late 90s. I think it was like 98, 99, something like that, called Clay Pigeons with Vince Vaughn, where Vince Vaughn was the serial killer. Like, that was the first thing I really remember seeing him in. Well, I mean, other than Parenthood, because he was one of the kids in Parenthood.
Yeah, I remember him in, was it Ruskies? I think he was in
Ruskies. Yeah, he was in Ruskies. Yeah, he was in Space Camp. Oh, yeah, he was in
Space Camp. Yeah, Space Camp. That's right. Yes.
That's right. That's where I remember
him. He's the kid in Space Camp. But I remember him on the episode of Superboy.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, for me, it's like, oh, look, there's that little kid. Mm-hmm.
Little then, Hercules. And then so Inventing the Abbots, he was great in that.
Yeah, I remember that movie.
The relationship with him and Liv Tyler was really cool.
That just had that whole cast is solid.
Dude, that whole movie. So there were a couple times actually, speaking of Inventing the Abbots, where I'm like, Billy Crudup would have crushed this role.
Yeah.
He would have crushed it as this Joker. 8mm, he was in that with James Gandolfini, which is a fucked up movie.
I've never seen that one.
Quills, which is about the Marquis de Sade with Jeffrey Rush. He was in that.
Why do I think I might have seen that one, but I don't remember.
Yeah. Hotel Rwanda, obviously. Not obviously, but he was in Hotel Rwanda as well. I'm a fan. Like,
sure.
I'm a fan of Phoenix. Like, I will go see things that he's in specifically because he's in it.
Okay.
And, like, even though when we talked, I was like, I'm not sure if I'm going to see it. And then you said you went and saw it. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go see it so we can talk about it.
But I went and seen it chapter two. You could have went and seen it chapter two.
You didn't tell me you went and saw it at chapter two. Right. In all fairness, I just asked, did you see The Joker?
Right.
So, but yeah, so I don't know. I mean,
I went and seen two clowns on one day.
You had a clownathon.
I did.
But yeah, so I don't know. Like I said,
do you want a quick It Chapter 2 review? It was good. It was good.
Okay. So just one last thing
on
this.
Of the two movies?
You enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it more.
So just the last bit about the Joker is, like, I didn't like it. So, like, I left a comment, like, saying, like, you know, or Ashley left a comment,
like saying "so dark, so good"
on
Facebook.
Oh, okay.
And I just put "dark shore good?" question mark.
Oh, okay.
And like, I wasn't trying to start a fight or anything like that. And she was just like, "Well, it's not for everyone." It's like, exactly. This isn't for everyone, and that's the beauty of the subjectivity of liking movies.
This movie did what it was supposed to do for me. Like, as a movie fan, I enjoyed it on the level I enjoyed it on. If you enjoyed this movie, you should walk out feeling a little dirty.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I didn't enjoy it, and I walked out feeling dirty. Yeah. So,
like, if you don't walk out of this movie and feel a little dirty, you might have something wrong with you.
So I think that was the thing, right? The mental illness aspect of it was where it felt like really superficial. Because, like, he dealt with his illness with a laminated card.
Which is the way it was in the 80s. And remember the 80s?
I get it. Like, I do. I understand.
But that's
like,
the thing. You're complaining about this movie in the sense of thinking of it
and
as
maybe
a
that's
modern
like,
movie.
Right. And so, like,
you have to put yourself into what happened back then. It's because, like, you know, like, we know that I watched, like, the ghost shows and that where they go to these sanitariums that were still open into the 90s.
Right, right.
People were treated like shit.
Yeah.
And that. So the 80s was not a good time.
Well, like when he was talking.
The 70s was definitely not a good time.
When he was talking to Paperboy in the. You watch Atlanta, right?
I've watched like a couple episodes, but I knew who he was. So I was like, hey.
I was like, well, not only was Azay Beats in it, but then Paperboy was in it. I was like,
Todd Phillips is a fan of Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, where's Donald Glover?
no, that would have pulled you out of the movie.
No, absolutely. No, it's just, I think.
Donald Glover as Harvey Dent. Because, you know, the whole Lando Calrissian thing. I would have been like, I literally would have been like, what the hell? Like, next he's selling Colt 45.
He just hijacks Billy D's career.
Like, literally, like, I'm going to play the younger version of Billy D of every character that Billy D's ever played.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Oh. I would literally was like, you know, if they would have done something like that, I would have been like, you know what? No, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm out. I would have probably walked out like, no.
So.
No.
Yeah. No, I just, you know, because I'm such a fan of, like, that genre of Taxi Driver.
Well, yeah, sure, but that's the thing. You didn't put your mindset into that.
And like, yeah, I definitely.
Maybe you should have watched, like, Taxi Driver or something before you went and seen this movie. Because,
you know what? If I would have, I really would have hated it.
My whole thing was, as soon as they set the scene of where it is, you're like, see the cars, you see the clothes, you're like, okay, we're in the 70s or 80s. I'm like, literally, my brain goes, okay, we're in the 70s or the 80s. And I'm just like, okay, shitty things are going on in the world.
Right.
And then they're talking about garbage strike. And I'm like, oh, garbage strike. You know what that means. That means it stinks.
Where are we going to get our garbage?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. That thing. I was like, oh, Lord.
You know, it was more like, you know, and I understand. And I can, I think on some level, you're probably right that I was looking at it with too much of today's lens. And I had, Tim and I had that conversation, like, leaving. It's like, too much of today's lens on movies from the past?
Yes.
Right? Which I try not to do. Like when I watch like The Hangover, for example.
Sure.
Right? There's a scene where Bradley Cooper and Justin Bartha roll up to pick up Ed Helms.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they're yelling from the car, paging Dr. F word.
Yeah.
You know, the derogatory word for gay men. And, like, she's yelling at the top of their lungs over and over again.
And you're literally like, oh my God, how could they do that?
But, like, you know, and even though it wasn't right then, you know, at the same time, it wasn't as taboo or hateful as it is now, you know.
Sorry, I grew up in the
80s. Yeah, I know.
Like,
I know.
I'm not politically correct that. Like, you know, there's things that are wrong, but it's just a word.
Yeah.
If you let the word have power, then the word's going to have power. And that.
So, anyway, but yeah,
it's the same with, like, the whole okay symbol thing now being racist. What?
Oh, that's bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. So. Whatever. Whatever.
Yeah.
Take a step back from the fantasy world you live in and step into reality and look around once in a while. You know,
you could
take Ferris Bueller's advice, you know? Yeah, that's the thing.
He was the walrus.
The world is happening around you, and you're yeah. like nitpicking stuff that really isn't that important. Be good to your neighbor, mm-hmm. and don't hurt people.
Right.
That's the only things you have to be. So, and you're allowed to think whatever you want to think.
Right.
It's in your head. There are no thought police.
Free HK.
Yeah. There are no thought police yeah. yet.
Well, not yet. We're getting there. Well, there are on Twitter. You know, Twitter's all thought police.
I just go on Twitter to look at a certain people's posts, yeah. and I don't follow political stuff on
no,
there.
I try
like,
not
literally,
to.
Literally, I'll block any political stuff
yeah.
off. Yeah. And I do the same thing on Facebook. I mean, and I do the same thing with Instagram. If somebody got political on Instagram, mute.
Yeah. I mean, because we have friends on Facebook who are relatively political, and it's like,
I don't mind, like, you know, reading their thoughts on things.
Yeah.
Because it gives me an idea of things too. And, like, you know, then I go and look at things.
Reading
and,
their thoughts is one thing, but yeah. then when it's, it turns into like just constant fights and things like that.
Oh, I'm
like,
not, I'm not here to fight.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know.
And it's not like I'm like, it's not like fights with me or you, but I like, mean, there are people who, like,
the cycle of the presidency type yeah. thing happens every 4 years, and you can do something about it. So do something about it.
And I mean,
and if you're not happy with the way the system works, get into the system and fix the system from the inside.
Yeah,
that's all you can do.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's what Thomas Wayne was trying to do in this movie.
Yeah, that's exactly what he was doing when he called everybody jokers. I seen that actor, and I'm like, Thomas Wayne's gonna be an asshole.
Yeah, what a horrible
Brett Cullen.
Like, Brett Cullen is awful.
Brett Cullen's like so. Evil almost.
He's
in
always
everything
a bad guy.
He's in.
I'll never.
He showed up on Lost, and I knew yeah. he was a bad guy.
Well, I'll never forgive him for being the bad guy the Replacements. He was the jerk NFL quarterback.
Yes,
right?
He was.
Like,
yeah,
that's,
he was.
Like that's my Brett Cullen thing.
I had to think
thing,
about that. Like,
so,
man, yeah, he was in that
I'm
too.
Like,
well, yeah, every time
Martell.
He shows up, you're like, he's probably the bad guy,
right?
Like, if he's not the bad guy, he's dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
yeah, he's always like a dirty
like
cop.
For a moment when they were saying, yeah, you're his son. I'm like, is he really? Because that might actually be like something that would make this more make more sense. And then I'm like, that's kind of cool. The Joker's Batman's brother.
So if they would have done that, I don't know. I don't think I would have had a problem.
I would have
been mad. I'd have been like, all right. I could, like, okay. Like, if you're going with this version of it.
Like if they would have done that bathroom scene, and he would have been like, yeah, you know what? I am your dad. And if you ever come around me, I will kill you. I'm like, I would have been like, okay, this makes
See,
sense why
again,
he goes over the edge.
Substance. yeah. That would have added substance to yeah. all of it. And it wouldn't have been so superficial.
Yeah, so. Like maybe that was a little bit superficial that his mom was crazy too.
Yeah, right? In the fact that he was adopted, so it's not like it was even hereditary.
How did she adopt him?
The Waynes helped her, remember? That was
in
dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's things in this movie where you're like, you could drive a car through that.
But I don't think in the 70s they were letting, like, unmarried single women adopt kids.
I don't know.
You can
look into that and let us know on the
next
episode.
I don't really care that much, but, you know, yeah.
I enjoyed this movie. I don't need to see this movie again.
I did not enjoy this movie. I do not need to see this movie again.
I do think that Joaquin Phoenix should be nominated for an Academy Award. I think that the movie should be nominated. I do not think the director should be nominated.
I think the only reason...
Cinematically, the cinematographer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he could be nominated.
Yeah, director of photography.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, you know.
Editing? The editing was good?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
How, like, kind
the
of...
music. The music was the thing where it's like, that kept the pace going. Because
yeah.
the music was, like, just there. But it was, like, that thing where you're, like... There's something in this room, but I can't see it, and it's
right.
bothering me. And the music just amped up, like, when the madness was coming.
So the score, when
yeah,
they used
that's
actual
what I'm saying.
Music,
the score,
like
the score,
actual, like, I mean, songs that they used, like, lyrics and verse
yeah,
and stuff.
Not that stuff. I'm
were,
talking about the score. Like,
were like
you know.
A bad wedding DJ. They took you out
well,
of
sure,
what you were
yeah,
watching.
But, you know, you were supposed to be knowing that you were in the early 80s.
Well, no. I'm saying, like, they just took, they felt shoehorned in.
Are you talking about
in.
The clown songs? Like, sending the clowns and all that?
Like, it just felt shoehorned in.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like, again, he was trying to do something that, like,
we
James Gunn or
sure
Edgar Wright did really well.
This is a clown movie.
Sure.
You have to know that this is a clown movie. But,
I mean, I'm surprised, like, Pennywise didn't have a cameo. Bozo should have been in there somewhere.
Thinking of that.
So, okay.
So,
we're done with, okay, you've got 10 minutes to talk about
so
it too, or
opening,
however long you want.
The opening of that movie. They pulled the best joke that I've seen
of
it. Okay. Like the best joke. Like it's a Warner Brothers movie too. So they ran the regular trailers. You think the trailers are over. The Warner Brothers thing comes up. Red balloon starts floating by. And then all of a sudden a bunch of red balloons float up. And then Harley Quinn walks out from the balloons and goes, "I'm so sick of clowns." And then it's a short preview for Birds of Prey. I'm like, you know what? Thanks for that little bit of levity before this movie. It was good. I want to watch it all together.
Yeah, you said that.
It made me jump once.
And really?
I'm like,
you never jump.
There was
you
literally a scene in there where I was like, I literally had that little shock of a jump where I was like, holy crap, they got me. They actually got me.
Like in Jurassic World when they released that pig, you jumped?
No,
that's Haley. Haley jumps at that part every time.
There is literally a scene in there where the Paul Bunyan statue that's in the middle.
Right.
Something happens with that. And it made me jump, like, because visually I was like, it was right there, like in your face. I'm like, if this would have been a 3D movie, I probably would have peed myself at that point. Because I was like, I'm just like, Where did that come from? Why did my pee leave my body?
So
a perfect example of something to compare it to.
Okay.
In the first movie, when they're in the garage and they were looking at the slides and like, you know, Pennywise shows up in the slide. Then all of a sudden he's there
in the back, sticking
out of the screen. And I'm like, that's a creepy moment in the movie where I'm like, ooh, that's kind of like where you're like it didn't make me jump, but I was like, ooh, I wonder if that would have scared me in a theater.
Okay. So when we talked about it.
Yeah.
I felt like they used Pennywise too much in the first one. Like, he became kind of adorable.
Really?
Yeah, with his dancing and stuff. It just made me laugh.
This one, he's much darker.
Okay. Is he in it? Like do they use him like Jaws?
So
where
he's
it's like the
like,
idea of him coming back?
It's that thing where he got a taste for them,
okay,
for the group, the losers, and it made him darker.
Okay.
So, like, in this one, he just seems a bit more evil.
Like, when they beat him to death and that just kind of sent him over the edge?
Well, it's that thing where he felt fear for the first time. I literally watched the first movie before I went and seen the second movie. Like, I literally watched it that morning and went and seen the second movie. And I was like, if I get out in time to see the Joker, I'll go see the Joker. Because it was on
the... Wow, totally had a clownathon.
It was on the fence about that movie anyways because of the trailer
for Joker.
Yeah. But like because he had a taste for the fear of them, it made him worse.
Okay.
They explain his origin in this movie, and now that I've seen it, I want to go see if this is like truly what was in King's book of his origin, but I was like, his origin's kind of weird. And I'm like, "Huh." But they did a cool thing where the bug creature that's at the end of the TV miniseries.
Yeah.
Shows up as a CG creature for a moment. Oh, and I'm like, hey, I know that thing.
Nice little throwback.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
effects.
I don't think it's on the shelf over there.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Cool effects. Everybody's good in it.
Yeah.
James McAvoy. Dude can do different accents like really well because he does the main accent and does a decent, you know.
That Boston-y.
But he does that stutter.
Yeah.
Oh, like at a certain point when he gets back, the stutter starts to come back. And when he does the stutter, I'm like, oh, you do that pretty well.
Is that John Ritter in the TV?
No, Richard Thomas.
Richard Thomas, that's right.
Yeah, I forget who
John Ritter played the fat kid.
Yeah, he did. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
And then Bill Hader, I heard, was really good.
Bill Hader is like one of the best.
I love Bill Hader.
Like,
so.
Bill Hader should be nominated for a supporting for this, I think. Because, you know, it's fun to watch him puke.
Interesting.
Yeah, he pukes a couple times in this.
Okay.
But like he like that character, like even the Finn Wolfhard. Yeah, like that character.
That's the best name ever.
Like
I don't know if that's his real name or his stage name or not, and I closed my iPad so I'm not gonna look it up.
Right.
But like that is the best
name.
But
like their character is not a great character anyways.
Right.
But like becomes like one of the best for like trying to break things up and still be afraid, but you know, not let the fear get him. And that's that. He's the scene. It's a flashback with him that's made me jump.
Okay.
Like it didn't scare me, but it was just like, holy crap.
So
like
it was one of those ones
where you're not expecting what happened to happen. And it's like,
you're saying he has the ability to overcome great fear.
Pretty much. pretty much. Like, welcome, there's some sad
welcome
stuff.
To the core.
There's some sad stuff that happens in this movie, yeah. too. So it's like, you know, there's moments of levity, moments of sadness. There's a great tip of the hat to The Thing. John Carpenter's The yeah. Thing. Like, literally, like, I was just like, okay, this is either going to be really stupid or it's not. And when Bill Hader says something, I'm like, okay, they did it right. They did that tip of the hat right.
Cool.
But yeah, I was happy with it. I thought it was well done. And like I said, when it comes out, I want to watch it all as 1 5-hour.
Yeah.
Like, he's talking about doing a director's release of the whole thing. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I probably would go, like, if there's an intermission, like, I probably would go see this, like, all together at once. But I pretty much did it 20 anyways.
20-minute intermission or
yeah,
something
I did
like
it
that.
Anyways because yeah. I watched it and then drove to the theater. So I had a half-hour intermission, you know.
Did
but
you
yeah.
Did you go to Milford?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I saw Joker.
That might have been the thing, too. I was in a smaller theater. So, yeah. like, we were closer to the screen. And when that happens, it really, like.
Yeah, we saw Joker over at Cobb.
Yeah.
So, that's a nice theater.
Joker I seen on, actually, one of their digital screens. And it was, like, pretty good.
I mean, it looked really good.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Visually, anyway. I thought it was a really good movie. And then, like, you know, I'm sitting there going, what does, like, you think about, what does this movie make you feel like from another movie's perspective? And I'm like, man, this really feels like when I seen Seven.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
So, cool. Yeah, whereas I felt like I saw it already when it was called Taxi Driver. So.
I don't compare it that much to Taxi Driver.
Yeah, I just felt like that's kind of what he was going for and
maybe,
all that
but
fun stuff.
I'm sure he'll say something on the commentary about it.
Yeah, right.
He's got something to say, so.
Cool. All right. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
All right. Well, we'll be back, I think, in 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Because okay. I'm off to Barcelona now.
Hopefully there's no riots or anything.
I don't know. That was in Paris.
It could happen anywhere.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wait for it to happen here.
Well, I mean, they
not
happen.
Here as in Cincinnati, but here as in the U.S.
I don't think people here in Cincinnati, like, are that militant one way or the other.
Oh, no,
maybe
there's been riots
are, but,
to the point that
well,
the
I mean, there's been, I'm
before.
Saying, but like the political stuff.
I was there. I was so, there when that happened.
Yeah, when they were burning cars.
Well, when they shut the city down yeah. for 2 nights.
So, anyway, cool. Well,
the quietest it's ever been. In my lifetime, it was the quietest yeah. it had ever been. Because I lived right by Columbia Parkway and you couldn't go.
Yeah.
You couldn't drive. So
now you just go down there at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and there's nobody there. No, actually, that's yeah. not true. There's more people.
There's
down
more
there
mudslides
now.
Down there than anything yeah. now on Columbia Parkway. So
cool. On that note.
All right.
Any last words?
No. I don't think so.
All right. We'll see you guys next week or in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye. The Infest Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @infamouspodcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny online @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. Music in this episode was provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.